This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Kelvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. The number is the same if you want to call or text. It's 855-752-4842. You can also comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tuesday, January 28th. The average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.08. And the average price of a dozen large eggs here in the state, $5.09. All kinds of things coming up on the show today. Maggie Dawn will be joining us coming up at 10:33. Of course, you can catch her show every weekday from 2 to 4 p.m. across Civic Media. We're going to talk about Donald Trump now firing 15 inspectors general last Friday night,
you know,
which actually you have to kind of go through a process. That didn't happen.
Process, schmasses.
Yeah, that seems to be the feeling. And also looking at some internal review about the January 6th cases. We're going to talk about that a little bit as well. Next hour, we're going to continue our ongoing series, Getting to Know Brad. Brad Schimmel running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court against Susan Crawford. We are going to see an unbelievable amount of money poured into the state.
Already have.
Yep. You're starting to see. I saw my first ad last week.
I've seen a pro Schimmel and a negative ad against him. Not a Crawford ad, but just a
pack ad.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to be seeing lots and lots of those up until the April election. The primary is February 18th. And we're going to reach out to the League of Women Voters and get them back on to try and break some of these things down. It's really important that we're voters.
It really is.
I know there's a lot of folks who are disheartened, and it's like, why bother? We still need to bother.
Well, I will say this, too. That is what people want you to feel. They want you to feel disheartened, disenfranchised, uninterested, apathetic. We get it. I just want to be able to not talk about elections for a week.
Wouldn't that be nice?
But that's not where we're at. That's not the state we live in, and we need to be fired up. We need to be informed, ready to go, get the information you need. Listen to us. Listen to other people. Talk to friends and family. But you need to be involved. They count on you being worn out.
And being checked out.
Exactly.
Definitely. And again, we completely get it. Yeah. We would like to check out, too.
Yeah.
I can't do that. We're not going to do that, so we will be here for you.
I can't check out. By the way, bye, everybody. I'm going out
again. Oh, yeah. Says the guy as he's heading out the door for a couple of days. Well-deserved time off.
Thank you.
Also, next hour, we're going to do a little traitor update. You know, those great patriots that were so unfairly jailed after attacking the U.S. Capitol on January 6th of 2021. Well, Donald Trump released all of them.
Yeah.
All 1,500 plus. Complete and full pardons. Two of them.
Already
making news.
Not even a week.
Yep, making the news. All the best people. All the best traitors. Coming up at 11:33, we're going to talk about whether or not this school chancellor, who along with his wife or partner, starred in adult pornography.
I wouldn't say starred, like they've self-produced.
Well, there's the stars.
Yeah, okay, I guess.
And he wants his job back.
Porn star job back?
No, his position at UW La Crosse back.
Oh, I feel like the other one would be much more fun.
So okay. We're going to talk about whether should he get his job back?
Yeah.
Would you have a problem with that? Do you not have a problem with that? That's 11:33. We'll wrap it all up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Oh Baby edition. Yeah. And if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me. Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. Wanted to start off today, though, with a little update on our senior senator here in Wisconsin, Ron Johnson.
Ron Johnson.
Ron Johnson. He tells Upfront, this from WisPolitics, he is pushing for recess appointments of Trump cabinet picks.
Oh, man, what a...
He wants his GOP colleagues to pursue recess appointments to get Trump's cabinet nominees appointed as quickly as possible. Just give them, you know, who needs hearings? Who needs hearings? Who needs to question, I don't know, Robert Kennedy Jr. about whether or not he believes in vaccines? Now that bird flu continues to be a growing issue in this country, nothing to worry about.
You realize that some of the people who you're talking about don't believe birds are real, so really... It's going to be a hard time cracking that nut.
Birds are real.
Well.
I hate to be the one to drop that on you.
Liberal rag, Matt and Air on Air show of just the left Looney Tunes.
Birds are real.
Gravity's a thing.
Yeah, well, I guess we have a clip from our senior senator. Gavin, let's play that clip from Ron Johnson, please.
I hope people recognize the real abuse and obstruction being put up by Democrats. Within 3 days, President Obama had 12 of his cabinet nominees approved and confirmed.
Because they weren't nuts.
We've had now a couple. And Democrats are going to keep running out the clock here, denying President Trump the confirmed secretaries for his departments. I think it's pretty grotesque. From my standpoint, this is exactly why we may want to and have to use recess appointments.
Well, for one thing, everybody's been approved so far.
And there's like four so far that's been approved.
Except for, Gates.
Yeah, well, he dropped out.
Right.
So,
but, I mean, so far, everyone else has been approved,
and
right?
We're a week in, so...
What's the rush, Ron?
Also, the thing, Ron loves to drop such aggressive language.
Grotesque.
I mean, he is just so... I mean, talk about a guy who cannot get things done. And now he wants to do recess appointments because he... I don't know. To me, personally, recess appointments... are what you do when you can't succeed. You know what I mean? Like let's do a recess.
Well, it's called going around the process.
Exactly. And I really feel like Ron Johnson, if he just, I don't know, waited another week, he'll see a lot more confirmations go through. I mean, Sean Duffy right now is probably going to be confirmed as the next transportation secretary.
Without a doubt. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later on. Sean Duffy's going to sail right through.
But I guess because...
He's been on roads.
I guess because all of the confirmation appointments were confirmed at 12:02 on Monday afternoon. I guess it's just... It's a liberal conspiracy of grotesque and disgusting values from the Looney Tunes left old tin hat Ronnie's talking about.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that Senator Ron Johnson... upset about this seeming slow pace of getting Trump's nominees confirmed. Not a problem here at home in Wisconsin, where, by the way, he never is.
No.
When do we ever see Ron Johnson out at a county fair? When do we ever see Ron Johnson doing anything on the ground in Wisconsin?
That's all Glenn Grothman's job. He handles all the fairs,
well,
fish
the
fries.
Breakfast. He does the breakfast.
He loves a pancake breakfast.
Who doesn't love a good farm breakfast? Yeah, but again, Ron has no problem with the Republicans in Wisconsin sitting on Governor Evers' appointments year after year after year.
7 years.
7 years.
Yeah.
And how many of his appointees have actually been confirmed? A handful.
A handful, and some of his appointees have been fired just because.
Right. They don't have to have cause. They can fire these people because they have not been confirmed. They can get rid of them for any reason. I don't like your hair.
I just want to know, Ron Johnson, do you find that grotesque? Do you find that gross, disgusting? But like,
does that bother you at all?
Did it bother you when you wouldn't go for Supreme Court nominations after Scalia died? Like, I'm not a huge fan of whataboutisms, but in the situation here where you can look from A to B, the same situations where he's upset about something, but had no problem in the same situation when it benefited him.
Absolutely.
That's where I have the problem. The double standard, this continuous double standard we're talking about, where the GOP gets to do whatever they want. And the moment you call them out, you are a traitor. You are un-American. You don't love the people. But the moment you try to stand up, or the moment that you try to get something done, you are the worst person ever. Worst person ever for even thinking that women should have access to minimal health care. I'm not talking about pie in the sky, what I think we should get. Minimal health care. How dare you politicize this?
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. Talking about Trump's sweeping pardons for the January 6th traitors, Senator Johnson says he would have been more cautious. Quote, oh, this is his new favorite word. There was a grotesque miscarriage of justice throughout the Biden administration. Certainly as it relates to people that took part in January 6th, a lot of that injustice had to be rectified. I would probably have gone at it a little more cautiously. But in the end, I think President Trump said, let's just pardon them all. Yes, that's what he did. He said, let's just pardon them all because it was too onerous for his staff to go case by case. It's too much work.
I think there was an expletive and then said, just do it. And it's funny how all of these Republicans, all these Trumpian Republicans now are saying, well, I wouldn't have done it that way. Didn't you have access to someone in the staff to make a call and say, maybe this isn't the best idea? Maybe this isn't something that you want on your plate right now, surrounding all the controversy.
But if they do that, then they're not in the inner circle.
Well, exactly.
But you can't do that.
But hindsight is, of course, the best place to make commentary on what has happened and you have no control over. But, you know, Ron maybe would have done it a little differently.
Ron says, I don't have a real problem. I think the people who did commit violent acts, and we're talking about January 6th, I'm not sure I would have pardoned them, but I think they served jail time, and you have to really take a look at what jail time they served versus, for example, violent criminals in New York and California that are just being let out on the streets. Donald Trump just left 1,500 criminals out on our streets.
They love to make it seem like on Tuesday, the warden comes in and unlocks the big lock and says, all right, you're free. Enjoy California and the sun. That's not how it works. And also, in that 1,500, some of them were pretty violent people. They beat up cops. And I thought you loved cops.
Right.
So why is it such a thing to say, well, I guess we got to look at California. Once again, let's not focus on the issue.
Exactly.
Let's talk about California.
Let's look over here to divert people from the actual issue.
Yeah. Well, he likes sunny places. He doesn't live here where, you know, he lives in Florida.
He has his nice Florida compound. Exactly. Yeah.
He wants to take care of the sunny places.
Of course he does. We have more on the way. Stay with us. And don't forget, you can always chime in at 855-752-4842. Keep it right here. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. She don't mean no harm, she just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says,
you're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach. And the Calvinator on the board coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. After the 10:30 news, our colleague and friend Maggie Dawn going to be joining us from the Maggie Dawn Show. We're going to talk about Donald Trump firing, 15 inspectors general late Friday night. So, again, a lot of things get missed in that late Friday news dump. And also, more firings.
Yes.
More firings. So we'll be kicking that around with Maggie Dawn after 10:30. Right now, though, we wanted to talk about former Wisconsin Representative Sean Duffy is undergoing his confirmation hearing. As we speak, he is widely expected to get confirmation.
Oh, yeah.
Even Senator Tammy Baldwin said, quote, at the end of the day, I am confident that Sean is the right person for this job in this upcoming administration. I believe he will help deliver for Wisconsin families, businesses, and workers. And I expect that he will work through this committee and both sides of the aisle to improve our infrastructure and address the challenges that arise in the years ahead. Senator Baldwin added she is proud to introduce him to the committee.
I'm sorry, but no.
Well, he's been on roads.
He was on road rules,
he right? Roads what, whatever. Rule. What was the reality show he was on?
Hey, show some respect. He was on Real World and Road Rules.
Well,
he did double duty, and
far more than I've ever
his
achieved.
His favorite ice cream, Elephant Tracks. Thought I was going to say Rocky Roads, didn't you? I didn't. I do not enjoy political fluff of that manner. And man, I'm sorry, but Tammy Baldwin, you are serving up some political fluff right now. I don't care. I said it.
But I do think that it's called hedging your bets. And if you want him to actually do things on behalf of Wisconsinites, then to some extent, you have to make nice.
Jane.
Don't you?
Jane.
Yes.
Jane.
What?
When did you become naive? That is a naive thing to say, I think. You think if by them playing nice, Tammy Baldwin playing nice, that they will care at all about Wisconsin?
No, but I think if you take a very hostile posture, you're even less likely to get anything done on behalf of your constituents.
No, I don't think let me clear. I don't think she should have said anything hostile. I just think the amount of fluff in that statement.
The glowing remarks.
It was a little much for my liking. Tammy Baldwin's smart, very smart politically.
She should have scaled it back a little.
Just a little bit. Like, hey, I voted for him because X, Y, and Z. But this was like, roll that red carpet out and glitter and angels. And his wife could have been behind him going, We have nine children. Did you know we have nine children?
I guess it would have been great if she had come out and said, well, it could be worse.
Yeah, it could be Bob Jr. for everything.
Yeah. Which brings us to our next part of this. Yes, the confirmation hearing for Robert Kennedy Jr.
Bob Jr.
is going to happen tomorrow. Kennedy will first appear at the Senate Committee on Finance. The panel will ultimately be the one with the deciding vote on whether or not his nomination to be the Secretary of Health and Human Services will go on to the full Senate. He does have to get a majority of senators to be confirmed to head the HHS, which encompasses all of America's federal health agencies.
I don't know who's worse, honestly. Well, no, I think Bob Jr. is worse. Pete Hegseth is terrible.
Yes.
Is a terrible nomination, a terrible choice. I'm going to say it right now, he will be a terrible secretary.
Yes.
If he lasts. Bob Jr. is dangerous.
I agree. And considering in the wake of decisions that have already come out of the Trump administration, like withdrawing from the World Health Organization, like stopping all communications from our national health agencies in the middle of the avian flu, this should make people go, this seems not good.
No, but that's the problem is when does it, at what point of bad does it have to be bad for people to finally, who were excited for them to say, no, this is bad. I don't think it exists because they can't admit fault.
Well, tragically, I think you have a point, but I think once it affects them personally, then it will change. When their sister or husband dies from, I don't know, bird flu.
Yeah.
Once it comes home, it might be a different story. I don't think he's going to sail through quite as easily as Sean Duffy has.
I don't think so either. And I don't think, and honestly, even as easily as Pete Hegseth did. I mean, with the exception of some.
Don't even mention their names.
No. I was going to say, with the exception of a few senators who got in his face about a certain things, he's sailed right through.
Easy breezy. Yeah. Calvin, do you want to jump in here?
I was just going to comment about you saying maybe they will wake up when, I don't know, maybe someone in their family dies from bird flu. I'm just going to push back and say that that won't even be enough. Because, I mean, I've heard stories of people who are hospitalized with COVID and they still were saying, oh, well, that's Fauci's making stuff up.
You make a very good point. And we can look at one of Wisconsin's own lawmakers, Andre Jacques.
Yes.
Who was on a ventilator with COVID. And yet when he got out of the hospital, if I recall correctly, and if I'm not, correct me, please, He thanked God, not the doctors and nurses who treated him.
It's when you say things like that, I just think to myself, where do we live?
It's America.
And he gets to make $174,000 a year. Oh, not him. He's not a congressman. Sorry. No. But still, like, he has power.
And he gets a full-time salary for a part-time job, which really isn't too bad. Some supporters do say, you know, like Bob Kennedy Jr. for questioning ultra-processed foods and food additives and dyes. I think that's all valid. The concern about processed foods and the food additives and dyes, if you compare labels to things made in the U.S. compared to things made in other countries, we have a whole bunch more junk in our food.
I totally agree with you. My question is, how is he going to, in a Trump White House, fight against these huge corporations with massive money and massive lobbies to make food healthier? That's the question I have.
Good question. News is coming up next. When we return, Maggie Dawn will be here. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. We are global. If you've got the app, Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away. Yes, I'm gonna be a star.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call and or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Coming up on our next guest show in the 2 o'clock, 2 to 4, across the network, Maggie Dawn will be heading to Madison to sit down with former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about the upcoming Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Maggie Dawn joins us live right now. Good morning, my friend. How you doing?
I've had better mornings, Jane, if I'm being
I'll leave. That's fine. I'll leave.
It's fine. Yeah. Greg, it's all your fault. Gosh darn it. You too, Calvin. I hear far too much from you, Cal.
What in particular is making your morning difficult?
I would say, you know, being a lawyer in government for many, many years, having served a federal appeals court judge as a clerk, a two-time Reagan appointee, Article III federal judge, what occurred last night and the firing of basically career prosecutors, not the big names that you hear about, like the U.S. attorney of thus and such. That's not who Trump fired yesterday. It's not like the firing of Jack Smith.
Right.
It's not the firing of an attorney general. Those are political appointments. Those people are fireable. Okay. That's just the way it is. But Trump fired civil servant career prosecutors from the Department of Justice yesterday evening. And he fired them because they, likely under orders of their bosses at the time, were assigned to and were functioning under the direct supervision of their then supervisors with respect to the Donald Trump January 6th and super secret spy documents stealing case. And he's fired them all. The first issue is that's not legally permitted. it's totally illegal. Those are civil servants, and there are civil service protections. And this is beyond. People are all a flutter yesterday about the IGs getting fired, which is really bad. But ultimately, IGs do serve at the pleasure of the president. There's just more process that has to go into it, notice to Congress, and frankly, a statement of some sort of substantive good cause, which can easily be met. This is different. This is not analogous to the IGs. These are people that have certain job protections written into law. He ignored those and fired them all. It is, as he promised, political retribution. This was not the only thing that disturbed me greatly, Jane and Greg and Cal and all of you out there. What is getting missed in some of the headlines that are focused on the firing is that they've also announced the opening of a confidential internal investigation into all of the J6 related prosecutions. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that something that the DOJ, without any transparency or sunshine or sunlight, is now going to pick whom, undisclosed, to investigate presumably other career civil servant prosecutors across the country, because J6 prosecutions are across the country. So the internal investigation announcement was not limited to the two Donald Trump cases that were proceeding in the federal Department of Justice. It is more broad than that. And I'm going to put a marker down in my show today. I'm going to make a prediction, and you guys are not going to want to miss the prediction that I make about this. And I can only just share this analogy with you, Jane and Greg. You both know that I served as Milwaukee County's Corporation Counsel for well over 7 years. And in the course of those duties, I was involved in a lot of headline-making litigation, not just the opioids, not just looking at suing Big Oil and the PFAS manufacturer, went on and on. But the cases that I probably will be most remembered for, whether for good or bad, was my defense, as was my job duty as the county's lead lawyer, of Milwaukee County's election commission when we were sued by the Trump campaign in 2020 after we had completed a recount requested by the Trump campaign.
Yep.
To bring this home to everyone listening, what Donald Trump has done yesterday would be like me getting fired from my job for doing my job, not because I was bad at it, but because my job involved opposing the Trump campaign in 2020, I would lose my job. Though that was the exact, I'm Milwaukee County's lead lawyer, defending the county in the course of civil litigation, that is legit, the exact job description. It would be like me losing my job and then facing a criminal investigation by either the district attorney of Milwaukee County or the state attorney general, an investigation by whom I wouldn't know who to respond to. I would just be in some state of both fired and potentially under criminal investigation. Talk about sending a chilling message to every frontline law enforcement prosecutor who is responsible for human trafficking, drug trafficking, gang crimes. And here's the message. Do not follow the facts and the law wherever they may lead without fear or favor. No, be afraid.
Yes.
Be very afraid. Be afraid every day. And do not dare cross me, because I will put you in the crosshairs and maybe see you in jail for doing your job.
And correct me if
that's what happened yesterday.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Maggie, but this is directly out of Project 2025.
Correct.
There are several things that have happened in just the last 7-8 days that are directly out of Project 2025 that we talked about for months leading up to the election. And of course, Donald Trump said, I haven't read it, but there are parts of it I don't like. How he couldn't like parts if he hadn't read it, I will never understand. But whatever, no one ever holds him to any kind of logical standard. But they are implementing Project 2025 little bits at a time.
The way it always works, right? It's never a light switch. It's like
little by little. So it's not going to be quite as noticeable. It's not going to be quite as until the whole thing has been implemented. And then we're going to wake up in an entirely different world. But going back to Donald Trump firing all these career prosecutors, the Department of Justice operates independently of the president, correct?
Yeah, we're going to have to make a law about that, Jane. Clearly this is where we're at. So I say to every MAGA supporter and Trump supporter, I respect your right to disagree with the Biden administration. I respect your right to question the motivation of certain prosecutions. I respect your desire to see a Department of Justice that isn't weaponized based on political beliefs. I agree with you in that last point. And here's the only way to ensure that going forward, that the Department of Justice and the FBI have to make in law have to be sealed off to make independent
yes.
law enforcement and prosecutorial decisions free from political interference from either Congress or the President of the United States with some very specified oversight mechanism. This, you know, Republicans were saying back when we were freaking out about Project 2025, oh, it's Democrats freaking out. Of course he wouldn't do all this. Yeah, he is doing that.
Yes.
He is doing that.
And he was always going to do that. Look at Russ Vogt, who is now the head of the Office of Budget Management, right? He's right in the administration. He's one of the authors of Project 2025. And what blows
And I'm going to talk about the memo that went out last night at about 5 o'clock that's basically shutting down grant monies coming from the OMB, right? That is sending governments, not just at the federal level, not just executive branch agency, but state and local governments, because all those grant monies trickle down, basically into complete, utter chaos panic today. I got calls and emails late last night from friends across government and across jurisdictional levels last night. Like, what should we do?
What does
this mean?
Have you
read it, Maggie? Are you working on a response? Yes, it is bad, bad, bad.
We're going to get to that in our second segment with you, Maggie. Dawn, by the way, is our guest. You can catch her show across the network 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Going back to the January 6th and even the other cases with Donald Trump stealing classified documents and Donald Trump being behind the January 6th attack on the Capitol, what blows my mind, Maggie, is that, you know, these claims that Biden weaponized the Justice Department, these required grand juries, correct?
Yes.
So for people who do not know, because I'm not in the legal profession and some of this stuff is real amorphous to me, but if you are selected to be part of a grand jury, you are presented with evidence about this specific case, and then it is your job to determine whether there is not enough evidence to take it further to trial. Is that accurate?
Yes. Now, there's an old saying that you can get a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich. Okay. This speaks to the overwhelming power of the state when it seeks to prosecute someone. And I would ask everyone that's listening to look back very candidly on your life. And unless you have lived the life of a saint, there is something that you have done that a federal prosecutor properly motivated by political animus could charge you for and get an indictment for. That said, what's more dispositive of this question of did the Biden administration weaponize the Department of Justice is this. Two facts. One, he permitted the prosecution of his son to continue. Yes, he pardoned him, but it was like after the most damaging, embarrassing trial had gone forward. He didn't interrupt the special prosecutor's investigation of his son.
Right.
He didn't interrupt the special prosecutor's investigation of him when he was questioned about his handling of classified documents after he left the vice presidency. Okay. So he didn't intervene in any of those cases. Fact three, maybe you've got more than two facts. Fact three, Merrick Garland slow rolled and didn't move forward on those special prosecutors for what liberal lawyers will call an unconscionably long period of time. They didn't charge Donald Trump with seditious conspiracy. Jack Smith withheld that charge. That would have been the top level charge, okay? They didn't charge him with treason. And oh yeah, this, when it comes to all the J6 prosecutions, the people that were found guilty did so by either entering a plea, so they admitted their guilt.
Yep.
Those pleas were voluntary. They had representation of counsel, okay? Trump judges oversaw many of those cases, Trump-appointed judges. And three, the other people that were found guilty were done so by a jury of their peers. So I moved beyond the grand jury just to avoid that pushback and say, ultimately, those that were tried before juries were convicted by juries. And jury verdicts are not easy to get, especially in these kinds of prosecutions, but for overwhelmingly clear evidence, which was heard and challenged in a court of law.
And not to mention the number of defendants who pled guilty and essentially said, I was there because Donald Trump told me to be there. I did this for him. More than one of those defendants said that.
Yes, because that's true. I've mentioned this on my show before. There's an old adage. I don't know whether it was said by a theologian or a philosopher, but it says sometimes you have to just say the thing you know to be true, and it will have authority because it is true. It has that ring of truth. Let's call a spade here. This is Retribution. This is Project 2025 in action. The people who are convicted related to January 6th, as well as the prosecution of the president, the investigation and prosecution of the current president, was based in facts and evidence. Evidence which this president has kept the American public from seeing get tested in a court of law. If I was innocent, I'd want my day in court. Why not this president too, sir?
And the number of Republicans who are coming out and saying, this is perfectly fine because the Department of Justice is there to enact the Trump agenda. No, they're
not.
No, that's not why they're there to enact the president's agenda. Their goal, their job, is to enact the rule of law. We're going to continue our conversation with Maggie Dawn. If you want to join us, Jack, I see you on the line, 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Sweet Gal B on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. You can call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have been talking about Donald Trump firing a number of career prosecutors from the Justice Department. Jack from Merrimack has been very patient. Thanks for joining us, Jack. What do you want to say?
Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, this is like electing Al Capone to office, and Capone, you know, would have pardoned all of his minions, except this is worse, because this is a guy that fomented a coup against the Constitution and the government of the United States, and because of the political cowardice of people like Garland and others, he was never prosecuted for this. They never got him into a courtroom so people could see the very clear evidence that was shown by the January 6th Select Committee. Is shown in the evidence during the impeachment trial. And even McConnell in February of 2021 said that Trump was both practically and morally responsible for what happened on January 6th. I mean, people knew this. They and people reelected this guy to office. Now, you can my progressive friends, some of them even said, "Well, he's not going to be able to do all that stuff in Project 2025." And a couple of my conservative friends said, "Oh, no, this is not going to happen. You know, he's just going to be a very conservative president." No, it's going to happen. That's what's really frightening.
Yep, you're absolutely right, Jack. And we heard from people who said, well, no one I know has read about Project 2025, therefore it's not a thing. So, okay, just because you haven't heard about it and you haven't researched it, therefore it is not important. It ain't no big thing. Thank you, Jack. Really appreciate you checking in. On the live stream, we have a comment from Eric in Wauwatosa. I'm just trying to find it here. Steve Bannon told all of us in 2016 that they would deconstruct the administrative state. We can't still be shocked about this. Yeah, apparently, Eric, we are.
Well, the whole thing was to give, and Maggie, correct me if I'm wrong, this whole thing was always to give the executive branch as much, if not all, the power, at least have it all flowing through one office, the Oval Office.
Yeah, that's clearly the end game here, but I think it's actually broader than the consolidation of executive branch power, which we have been on a long march towards for years. And let me just pause there for a second. One of the reasons that I would even say, beginning with GW and then more with Obama and then more with each subsequent president, the consolidation of power in the executive branch has been the utter dysfunction of Congress, especially the House of Representatives, as the Supreme Court continued to permit partisan and race-based gerrymandering to screw up our congressional districts and make them so rabidly blue or red that it made members, especially in the House of Representatives, disincentivized to any level of compromise. When you do that, everyone takes more extreme positions, less gets done because compromise isn't a necessity for retaining your office seat. Remember, the number one thing that every elected official is worried about is either getting reelected to the seat I have or getting elected to the next
one.
I want.
Yeah.
Right? And if there are no incentives that provide any reward for compromise, and in fact, there's disincentives and all of the rewards are to become more partisan, more nuts, and do less compromise. So the executive branch consolidation of power, that ain't new. We've been going that way because Congress has been dysfunctional for so long. What's new here is the lawlessness of the seizure of power, that there are no laws that can constrain me. In fact, I will enact both executive orders and take actions like firing these career prosecutors that are illegal, that are known to be illegal. I am daring anyone to stop me, including every member of Congress, including the Senate. Forget all of the rules. Forget all of the laws. I am going to do what I want and no one can stop me. That's what's different, because it has no bounds. It has no limits. And that is the point.
Well, and they're all on board. All the Republicans are completely on board. I haven't seen anybody do any kind of pushback except the flaccid pushback from Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins. And as far as I'm concerned, they should just both go away. But
day late, dollar short.
Yeah.
Where have you been?
Well, and I knew this was going to happen. They wanted to look good. And so they voted against him, knowing he was going to get confirmed anyway.
Anyway.
It was always going to happen. So, yeah, that... We don't have time, unfortunately, to talk about the White House pausing federal grants and loans as of 5 o'clock tonight and the massive, massive ramifications this could have. From what I'm seeing this morning, Maggie, everything from Meals on Wheels to the Head Start program to all kinds of things. The fallout from this is going to be massive. And I know you will be covering this on your show later on today, correct?
I shall, both this and the firing of the career prosecutors and the opening of an investigation to, you know, make sure that everyone that works in the Department of Justice, which is supposed to be objective and fair, is now, quote, serving the president's agenda, which has never been a thing, nor should it ever be a thing.
Join Maggie Dawn today, 2 to 4 p.m. across the network. Thank you so very much, my friend. Really, really appreciate your time. News coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Baby, hold me like you don't wanna let go. I'm feeling sexy,
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.